Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Cobiello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to mitigate crises and help teams get back on track. This podcast is about helping the C-suite leader to navigate challenges with confidence. For today's leader, I'm here to help you get back on track. Tomorrow's leader, let me partner with you to learn the secrets of the C-suite. Wherever you're at in your career, this is the podcast for you. Hello, I am Deb Cobiello, the Drop-In CEO, and as always, so grateful you've dropped in on the show where week after week, I get to interview amazing guests who share their insights with you. And just know this resource is for you because I sincerely care about the C-suite leader of today and tomorrow, or even if you just want to have a more impact. I want to be able to help you navigate your challenges with confidence. And this week, I am so grateful to invite back onto the show Gina Covarrubias, who holds a degree in aeronautical and astronautical engineering from Purdue and a master's in mechanical from the University of Utah and is a certified life coach. And her distinctive background blends life coaching experience with 14 years of engineering and technology experience in government, academia, and corporate aerospace. And she founded Deliberately Doing, an exclusive STEM coaching service dedicated to helping technical professionals ignite their careers. And we're going to talk a lot about her recent book titled Career Purpose, When Work Isn't Working for You, where she explains how professionals have been set up for disappointment in their careers and what they can do about it. Gina, welcome back onto the show.
Deb, thank you so much. It is my pleasure to be here. And speaking of books, you know, I read your wonderfully written CEO's Compass, and there's some overlap between our books. Very happy to be here.
I'm grateful we finally hit the record button. Gina and I were going back and forth and was like, well, we got to get this thing recorded. So let's get this conversation going. But again, I'm not sure how I met Gina. Maybe it was Neil that introduced. I'm not sure. But again, we share common backgrounds. We are STEM technical professionals. We've done well in our career, but different points along the way, we've said, there's got to be something better than this. Or we just hit a juncture where we're frustrated. It's her work in helping people navigate those challenges and find that purpose again. So we are going to spend a bit of time on your book, but I'm just going to first start with, like, what inspired you to finally put your thought leadership out there and write the book?
What inspired me, Deb, honestly, is after working with so many, I'm going to use your word, frustrated, or professionals who were maybe just looking somewhere else, thinking there's got to be more, after working with so many people, and combining that with my own experience from industry when I used to be an engineer, I thought to myself, people have got to know this information. I have something to say. I have a way to help people through a very common career mistake. And they need to know that it's not just them. They need to know that there are ways they can help themselves. So honestly, Deb, it was about trying to get the word out, not because I want to be known or be famous, but because I want to help other people who have made similar mistakes that I made.
Yeah, now maybe we should go back a little bit because for those who have not listened to your first episode, you have a very interesting backstory with your profession. Again, you got 2 degrees in engineering. You obviously were, you know, good and obviously highly competent. But what was it for you that you hit a juncture where you realized you needed to maybe go in a different direction?
For me, Deb, I noticed a pattern over the course of my 14 years or so that I was in industry working as an engineer. And I never found a sweet spot for myself. I never really fit into any organization or group or employer. And I'm not blaming anyone on the outside. But what I didn't know at the time is that I was really such an introvert trying to force myself into this extroverted environment. And it just wasn't working for me, but I didn't know that at the time. So I never really felt like I fit in anywhere. I didn't have a vision or a calling as to what I was supposed to be doing in my professional career. I would get the job done. I would do it. And I would say, okay, well, what's next? At the end of the day, I didn't really care that I could get the job done and do it well, if you know what I mean. So I always felt like there's got to be something else, or maybe I'm missing something here. So that led me to pivot.
Okay. And jumping into life coaching, how did that happen?
Absolutely. I get that question a lot. It was not planned whatsoever. I didn't even know what life coaching was. When I decided to walk away from my profession, Deb, and I did something that most people probably wouldn't do, I left without having a plan. I didn't have a job. I was going to live off of my savings and do some hardcore self-reflection. And I took about 4 or 5 months to go down that journey of, what is it I bring to the table? Who am I? What should I be doing? What do I not want to be doing? I started making all these lists and dove into knowledge, Deb. I wanted to know what else is out there. So I started reading books. I started listening to podcasts. I started taking courses online. And by some random chance, one day I found a life coaching podcast and the light bulb just went off. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's what I should be doing. That should be me. So I looked into it a little bit more, got certified, and decided, okay, now I can put all my experience and background together and help that unhappy engineer that I used to be.
This is, again, why I want to bring you on, because I know a lot of engineers. I know a lot of people that work day in and day out. And yeah, maybe financially it is lucrative. It satisfies their needs. Maybe it's flexible. They can work from home. And we keep going, going, going. And at some point, they look at themselves maybe 20, 25, 30 years in and say, you know, why? Why am I doing this? I don't love it anymore. There's got to be a better way. And I know some of your work is not necessarily around walking away, but how to be able to find joy again in what you're doing and finding that purpose. So that's why it resonates. And I think it's the same thing with me. I also was not having fun. Again, a technical professional is not having fun. I'm so grateful I was kicked out of the nest and started my own business. I now too coach and help people to find the way and find that joy again in what they're doing. But I want to get back to the book. And I would love for you to tell us a little bit about the book, some of the chapters in it, because I think having career purpose and when work isn't working for you, like, tell me a little bit about, like, who are you speaking to? What are you saying to that professional about when work isn't working for you?
Thank you for asking about that, Deb. My book is not necessarily geared specifically to the engineer. It's really geared toward the broader audience. Any professional who just finds themselves saying, this isn't working for me anymore, or this isn't cutting it, or I need something new, or I can't make a decision. I mean, we all go through ups and downs in our careers. And so the book is broken up into two different sections. And section one walks the reader through their life journey around how they have been brought up. And I would even go so far as to say some of us have been groomed or conditioned to believe certain things about a career. For example, that we're supposed to strive for success. We're supposed to accomplish. We're supposed to be really productive. We're supposed to make a lot of money. Like, we're brought up believing these are the important things. And so I help the reader understand how these beliefs really in our adult lives come back to haunt us. Because we are believing in things that are outside of our control. And essentially, we're being set up for disappointment. Mm. So part one of the book helps the reader understand, these are the things that happened in your life. This was the way your school system was set up and your environment, and even where you live impacts the way you think. And that it's not your fault if you have done all the things you were supposed to do and you find yourself maybe a little frustrated with your career, or a little bored, or with self-doubt, thinking, oh, did I take the wrong major? So that's essentially part one of the book. And then part two is where I offer different tips and solutions and a framework to help people understand that there is another way. You don't have to just strive for all those externals outside of you, even though that's what you've been taught. And that is what could be leading you down this path of spiraling. There is another way. There are solutions. So I help expand the reader's mind and understand that the most important thing is the relationship that you cultivate with yourself. That matters much more than anything else. And if you can nail that down, you can be a thriving autonomous employee.
So you don't necessarily tell them what to do. Like, here is my 3-step approach, my 5-step program.
Not at
all.
You
will be fixed.
Not at all. Not at all. Everyone is different and they need to decide what's right for them based on where they are in their journey.
What I like about your writing style, and I'll relate it similar to mine, is through sharing stories and experiences and perspectives and what is the current state, we provide guidance. We can open minds. We can inspire people to think on their own, because if we tell them what to do and it doesn't work, or they don't think on how to apply it to their situation, they're going to continue to set themselves up for disappointment because they're doing what the gurus say they need to do, and then they're upset and disappointed again. But you provide guidance and perspective. I love that.
You got it, Deb. That is exactly true. They're only doing what they have been taught to do throughout their lives.
But they don't think. They just do.
Yes.
That's the crux of it all. We do because you have to get certain goals. And it just becomes this rat race. And mind you, there are times in our lives, depending on the choices you make, you will be exceptionally busy doing a lot of things. We have those phases in our life. I said, but you were conditioned to just continue on that hamster wheel versus even taking time to think about what is it that we really want to do.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean hitchhiking and getting in a van and taking off for the next year, though. That's actually very good for some people, but it's first time in your life, maybe thinking for yourself in a long time.
Well, unfortunately, you are making the point that I try to make in the first chapter of my book. Not that I'm trying to knock our educational system. I think our educational system.
I will. I'll knock it.
Okay.
No, it screwed me up. Screwed me up. But okay, there are good school systems. Yeah. Keep going. The problem with the educational system.
The problem with the educational system is that it's good for some things, but it doesn't solve everything. And it has limitations. Like any system created by humans, they all have limitations. But we're not told about these limitations. We don't understand that there are limitations. We just go out there into the world. We think because we've done A, B, and C that we're ready. And then we get slapped in the face with reality. And we're like, whoa, how come nobody told me about politics in the workplace? How come nobody ever told me how to ask for a raise in the workplace? So getting back to critical thinking, yes, I would say our education, unfortunately, doesn't really promote critical thinking or individuality. It's more about regurgitation and memorizing.
And that doesn't serve us. It's about, I'm on a kick right now about human connection and how can we make a better impact. But you bring it back home that we first have to connect with ourselves.
I wanted to take a moment to remind you that a recent study showed nearly 60% of leaders feel depleted at the end of the day. And this feeling is a key indicator of burnout and makes it difficult to lead and inspire others. If you've ever experienced that restless exhaustion, you know why CEOs are amongst the most likely candidates for experiencing job frustration. I wrote The CEO's Compass, your guide to get back on track, to confront those feelings and create a plan that is sustainable for you and your organization. I created a 7-point assessment that will help you figure out your problems in days, not months. And it includes so many resources, worksheets, videos, and much, much more. If this is you, please head over to my website, dropinceo.com, and click on my products, The CEO's Compass, and order yours on Amazon or other outlets. And now, back to the conversation.
I'll tell you, and I think you, like you said, you had your aha moment when you found life coaching in that, you know, I have a lot to say and I want to help others. And when I had some time to reflect I found my joy in creation, creating content,
yes,
and speaking. And so every opportunity I have to tell a story, to have conversation with you and let our listeners learn to it, that's the relationship with myself. If I couldn't do that, I would cry endlessly because I can't get all this energy and these thoughts out of my head to connect with people. So you bring up such an important point about just reestablishing your relationship with yourself. So I'd love to know a story though. You know, have been doing some coaching and speaking, and now the book is out. And I always want to give you an opportunity to share, what has been the impact? Has anybody come up to you, or who have you interacted with for which time spent with you, or even in your writing or your YouTube channel, we're going to go there too, has made a human connection with somebody and maybe they've turned the corner in their career?
I have had several people who have come back to me either after reading my book, watching a video, reading a short blog that I wrote. They come back to me and they say, Gina, I felt like you were talking directly to me. And that's when I know, ah, yes, I made an impact. And then they proceed to tell me, this is what I was going through. And it was so validating to hear you talk about this. I thought I was the only one. So when people say that to me, I felt like you were talking to me, that's magical.
It is. And so yeah. I've had the same thing with my book as well. You know, the people who've read the book or bits.
That's for you.
Or just writing, like, Deb, I felt like you were talking to me. And quite frankly, I will tell the people that I meet are inspiration for some of the things that I do write, because I personally am touched by people. Again, I'm trying to put my thought leadership out there. But then as I interact with people and I hear about their insights, I get inspired and I just want to share their stories with the world. I do change the name so that nobody knows exactly who I'm talking with, but some of them have actually said, I knew you were talking about me. But it's like, yeah, because I see people's greatness. I mean, you see people's greatness, and we just get so frustrated when they get derailed. They lose their confidence. They don't find their purpose. They don't know their real value.
Yes.
And like people like you can like, but look at all you've done before, you know, look at all the successes. It's transformational sometimes, the work that you do and I do, just making that human connection one person at a time and putting your content out there. And by the way, you write a lot. I see there's almost 100 blog posts on your website. It's amazing. How long have you been writing for?
Deb, I have always enjoyed writing. Mm-hmm. And when I was in school, I loved essay questions. I could just write and write and write, mm-hmm, even if I didn't know the answers. Mm-hmm. And people thought I was a little maybe strange for that, but I always enjoyed writing. And nobody ever said to me, Gina, have you ever thought about being a writer or an author? And had they posed that question to me, I would have considered it. So it's just another example of how I was thriving in this one area, but because I wasn't really taught how to think for myself, I just kind of went down the, well, I'm good at math and science. I guess that's what I should be doing with my life. So to your question, I've always enjoyed writing. I never took it seriously until I created my business and I decided it's time to help people who are struggling in their careers. And part of that means I'm going to start writing. And it's been amazing.
And now you're doing a YouTube channel. You've been doing it for some time, but I just, as I'm getting ready for this conversation today, I was like, oh, Gina has a YouTube channel. How long have you been doing that? What inspired you to start that?
I started it a few years ago, shortly after I created my business, because I thought to myself, if I'm going to be helping people, that means I need to get out of my comfort zone. I need to quit being comfortable, and I need to get myself on camera. I need to record myself, and I actually need to teach something that's going to resonate with people. Deb, I was terrified to make videos. I was terrified. My first video that I made, it was 2 minutes long. I memorized every single word. It took me about 20 tries to get it right. And I was so tired after that. And I thought, oh my gosh, I can't memorize from now on. I'm just gonna speak freely, because that memorizing thing, that is not gonna work. There's always something to be learned, Deb. And it was so terrifying in the beginning. And now it's so fun to make videos. It's the other extreme. It's amazing what we can do, Deb, when we embrace awkwardness. and fear.
Yes. I mean, first time I recorded my first podcast, I was very, very scared. Like, is this going to be any good? And somebody came into my life at that moment, just somebody I'd been networking with. And I was telling her the problem I was having. And she said to me, I said, you know, what do you have to lose? Just do it. And just somehow in the conversation, I said, okay, I'm ready to push the button. I hit record. Maybe it sounded a little bit scripted, but I did it and I haven't looked back. And thank goodness I kept putting this out because my husband, I think, was getting tired of listening to me talk all the time. So now I have a stage to talk on all the time. So I am definitely, people out there, subscribe to her YouTube channel. She's got these great 2 or 3 minute shorts full of insight. But now I want to think about, how can you help people on a grander scale? You say that through your writing and through your coaching, you work with individuals just to find their purpose when work isn't working. But you also have the opportunity to work with organizations. Your website says you work with individuals, you work with organizations. How is it that you can take your insight and bring it to an organization when basically you're talking to the individual? How does this extend to an organization as well, your work?
Such a great question, Deb. I had to ask myself that question when I decided a few years back that I wanted to expand my business from just doing individual coaching to actually bringing helpful content to a group of people through my speaking. Mm. So I had to, in my mind, map out, okay, this is what I would do with an individual, but how does that translate to a group? Obviously, I had to make my information a little bit more general so that it could apply across the board. But I started having so much fun with it and I started realizing this is possible. This is so possible for me to be able to take some of these customized insights from one-on-one coaching and kind of transform them into a message that could apply to a broader audience. And that was a challenge and I was scared to do it. But I went out there and started doing it. I got really good feedback. And come to find out, Deb, I thoroughly enjoy speaking to an audience. I used to hate it. I used to be afraid of it. It was something I detested. And now, because I've embraced my fear and I did it anyway, I have found that it's something that really gets me in a zone.
I know what that's about, getting in flow. Like sometimes even just listening to, like you as a guest, listening to stories, I will be present and I'll be drawn into the story. And then it's like, you're done with your story. It's like, which is the next question I was supposed to ask you. So again, learning how to tell stories is really a great, and I was talking to somebody, it's a really great extension of who you are and getting out what you stand for and what your purpose is in hopes that your stories actually inspire others. So kudos on the speaking. I know I want to do more speaking, but that's why we are on this podcast sharing our insights with others. So getting back to your book, when work isn't working for you, are you telling people to quit their day job and go someplace else? Or are you telling them to think about, you know, you could actually make work work after all?
I am not telling them they should up and quit their job, although that's what a lot of people are tempted to do, right? Mm-hmm. When things aren't working out as planned. That's not always the best solution. That doesn't even have to be part of the solution. What I'm telling people when work isn't working for you is that you can find meaning and purpose in your day-to-day. It's there if you look for it. Mm. And that is part of why I wrote the book, is to help people understand whether you like your job, whether you plan on moving on, wherever you are, you can start right now and you can find meaning in what you do. And this is how.
You know, you got me thinking because sometimes we can't move our job. Sometimes we can't move up. We can't move sideways. And you can get lulled into, well, that's the only way I can get joy. But if you think about a more senior person who's been around a while and maybe they can't move up or sideways, they can find joy in training the next generation employee that's going to do their work. There's great joy in being able to cascade that information so that others can leave their legacy. So I get that because you're not done. You're not dead yet. You can find purpose, but being given permission or prompts to find, what am I here to do? How am I here to impact the human race? Just pausing and using your book can be exactly what people need to just say, Why am I here?
I love that you just said that, Deb. That is so true. And although on the surface, my book is about helping people create purpose in their careers, on a deeper level, Deb, it's really about what is our life about? What are we doing here with our lives, not just with our careers? And so the point that I'm getting across is that we're here to experience. We're here to become somebody. We're here to constantly grow and develop ourselves. That's the purpose. And you don't have to be employed. You could be retired.
That's so cool. That's so true. So did you learn anything about yourself in the process while writing the book? Because again, there's the intention, and now it's published since February. What about you in the process? What did you experience?
Wow. The first thing that comes to my mind, Deb, is that when I made this commitment, and it took me most of last year, really, I took about 11 months to get this done. When I would sit down and I would start writing, either I would pick up from a place I left off or I would think of a new idea, I would find sometimes that the information and the ideas flowed so well and that everything would come together in this moment of almost transcendence, I would call it. And it's not something that I could plan for. And if I would try to duplicate it, it wouldn't happen if I forced it. But there were so many times when I would be writing and it's just like all the forces and all the stars aligned. And I felt this energy of, wow, this is right. This is so good. This is coming together perfectly. So I would have those little moments and then that would really get my gears turning and keep me going. And thank goodness for that, because Deb, sitting down and committing to writing a whole book, as you know, is very tough work and it requires a lot of self-discipline. And so what I learned about myself in addition is that I relied on three C's. I call them the three C's to get me through. Lots of chocolate, lots of coffee, lots of cursing. I really relied on those three to get me through the toughest times because there were times it got so tough.
I can relate. The discipline, you know, we as engineers, we can structure our time and set the intention, but you can't turn on flow or creativity. Things just have to come together. You've got to be comfortable. You've got to feel fulfilled. And then once those fingers start typing or however you do it, just go with it. If nothing else, how can I produce more during this time? It's sometimes you can't force creativity, but when it happens, it's a beautiful thing.
I also learned, Deb, and I already knew this, but I learned by writing the book and publishing it that I am capable of doing some really hard things. And I'm not going to die. I lived. I'm still here. It didn't kill me. Although sometimes I felt like it was going to. But we're so much more resilient and capable than we give ourselves credit for.
And that's the mic drop moment. Because asking for a promotion, self-advocacy, leaving your job, doing something that people haven't done before. Yes, it can almost kill us in the process. So I got to remember the three C's. Chocolate, coffee, and cursing will get you through anything. But just know, to Gina's point, we are resilient. We will get through this. We will not be nervous the second, third, and fourth time that we do these things. It takes practice and muscling through and chocolate, coffee, and cursing.
And it also gave me a chance, Deb. I don't know about you, but I tend to shy away from showing vulnerability. And this book, publishing it, putting it out there in the world, that's really, really tested my ability to be vulnerable. I almost feel naked in front of a crowd. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I would describe the way it feels to release a book, because I'm letting people into my mind and they're learning about the way I operate and the way I function and the way I think. And to me, that's vulnerable, but it's beautiful at the same time.
But that's how people are going to connect with you when they get your book. And by the way, this is a soft pitch to everybody out there. Career purpose: when work isn't working for you, get Gina's book. It is an easy, quick read. You get to see Gina, how she thinks, and maybe she can be the person to inspire you, whether it's by the book or a conversation. So Gina, you and I are going to continue to talk and talk and talk, but we got to bring this to a close. So I want to give you the stage one more time for any last thoughts you want to share with our audiences before we bring this to a close.
I would like to say that getting back to the book, another reason I wrote it is because too many people miss the whole reason for working in the first place. They are hyper-focused on the wrong things, I would say. They're too hyper-focused on externals that at the end of the day don't fulfill us. That's my big impetus for writing the book. Where I'd like to leave off today, Deb, I'd like to read the quote that is in chapter 8. Chapter 8 is my last chapter. And every single chapter starts with an amazing quote. So I'd like to read this one by Malcolm Gladwell. And I sort of feel that it's your responsibility as a person, as a human being, to constantly be updating your positions on as many things as possible. If you don't contradict yourself on a regular basis, then you're not thinking. So for anyone in the audience who is contradicting themselves, who feels awkward, who feels fear about maybe trying something new, going for a new goal, do it anyway.
Beautifully said. And Gina, I am so grateful we had this conversation. Thank you so much for dropping in on the podcast. Wish you, wish the people that you inspire much success. And I just want to wish you well. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Deb. You're amazing, as is your podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Drop In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. If you found this valuable, please share this show with at least one friend who will find it useful and inspiring. When you share this podcast, it allows me to continue to help C-suite leaders of today and tomorrow to navigate their challenges with confidence. To connect with me or learn more about the Drop-In CEO services, go to my website at dropinceo.com. And until we meet, I wish you well and much success.